Last week, Pastor Jeff did a great job talking about Moses and the Passover. We're going to back up a little bit. I saved Abraham and Isaac for Father's Day because I believe that it's a great message, particularly for Father's Day. But before we get into that, we are going to give people an opportunity to put the books of the Bible in order. In this series, we are just making a big deal about the fact we need to know the Bible. We need to read the Bible. You've got a Bible reading plan on the back of your message notes. And so on Father's Day, how many know a dad needs to be the contestant to try to put these books of the Bible back in order? They are a little messed up. So Glenn Santana and his son and daughter, they're going to be a team here today. So we've made it a little bit harder. And so they're going to have 60 seconds to put these books of the Bible back in order, and you're going to cheer them on, and I'm going to try to confuse them because he's a Patriots fan. Down in front. Okay, ready? 60 seconds. You got to put them all in order. Ready, set, go. Hezekiah goes there. Did you talk to Tom Brady and he cheated on this stuff? Is that what you did? It's very deflating if you did, so. Oh, I love this church. It's awesome. Oh, this one's out of place. I think that might disqualify you. I'm just kidding. All right. It's good. All right. We're looking for people to post videos of themselves quoting all the books of the Bible in order, and that's how you get to be a contestant in this contest and win some stuff. Now, when it comes to Father's Day, I can't think of a better person to talk about in the scripture than Father Abraham, because if you grew up in church, you have some experience, maybe children's church or Sunday school, you sang a song called Father Abraham Had Many Sons. And I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right on, Father Abraham. Yeah. That's why I'm not the worship leader. That's one of many reasons why I'm not the worship leader. But if you turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 through 19, this is the story of Abraham and Isaac. And this is an incredible story about God and God's heart, especially for men, for fathers. It's an incredible story. Now, rather than read the story, I want to show you the story. Crown Ministries produced this video a few years ago. It's easily the best, in my opinion, of the illustration of Abraham and Isaac. It does a great job of staying true to the scripture as well. And I thought about using clips of this video because it's 15 minutes long, but the more I looked at it, the more I realized I just got to show the whole thing and try to shorten my part at the end. So pray for me as I try to shorten my part at the end. But I want you to look at the screens for the next few minutes, the story of Abraham and Isaac. Watch this. Thank you.
Come and eat!
I used to have legs like yours.
Father, let me help you.
Well, you think I'm getting too old for this, do you? Take it to your mother.
Abraham.
Here am I.
Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Take him to the land of Moriah, to a mountain I will show you, and offer him there as a burnt offering.
I could not sleep.
What troubles you?
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
When he first spoke to you in the land of your fathers, did you understand?
No.
You still followed, not knowing why.
How far is it to Moriah?
3 days' journey. That is if our master can keep up. Master, can I help you?
No, you can't.
Peace be with you, my dear wife.
peace be with you.
Father, why do we sacrifice?
We sacrifice out of obedience. That's how we worship. I'll never forget the day you were born, how fervently I worshiped that day. You were a miracle, you know. Have I told you that? We were traveling through the Oaks of Mamre. It was a very hot day. I was sitting at the door of my tent. I looked up to the horizon. There were three men dressed in white. I ran to meet them and quickly realized these were not ordinary men.
Who were they?
They were angels. I invited them inside, and we prepared them a meal.
Angels eat?
Yes, they ate. One of them asked about your mother. He said that she would bear a son. Of course, we thought this was impossible. We were too old. In fact, your mother laughed. The angel said to me, "Why? Why does she laugh? Is anything impossible with God?" And the next year you were born. Because nothing, nothing is impossible with God. Stay here with the donkey. My son and I will go further. We'll worship. We'll come back to you here.
Master.
What?
Thank you.
Father?
Yes, my son.
The fire and wood is here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?
The Lord will provide himself a lamb.
Sacrifice my only son whom I love, and I trust him to raise you from the dead.
Why?
Because he promised.
God!
Abraham! Abraham! Abraham!
I am here!
Do not stretch your hand against your son. Do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.
Isaac. My boy. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Father, look.
We shall name this place.
What shall we name it?
Jehovah Jireh.
What does it mean?
It means the Lord will provide. Always.
I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.
As a father of two sons, I can't even begin to imagine the struggle of Abraham as he wrestled with the idea of obeying God and sacrificing his son Isaac. There's so much that we can learn from Abraham in the Bible, especially Abraham and Isaac, and please know that there are thousands of sermons and books and Sunday school lessons and teachings about Abraham. You can spend it. I know people who have spent years and years just studying the life of Abraham, believing that God would give them the same faith of Abraham. So it would be very, very difficult for us in just a few minutes to say everything that needs to be said about this story. But I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to use what you just watched to apply it specifically to your life. I mean, you know, sometimes we're quick to preach about the Scripture or talk about the Scripture, and we forget sometimes it's the power of the Scripture that the Holy Spirit applies to our hearts. Are you with me? And because it's Father's Day, I want to make just a few applications that I think are going to be very helpful for all of us here today when it comes to this story, and especially men and especially dads, but ultimately to all of us here today. You can follow along on your notes and fill out the blanks there, but I think the first point I want to point out here today from the story is that every child is a child of promise. When I was watching this video and reading this story, I loved how the video illustrates Abraham's heart toward his son Isaac. He's proud of him. He loves him. He cherishes his son. You can see the way they depict that, and as every father should. But why was Isaac so loved by his dad? Well, remember, Abraham was 99 years old, and Sarah was about 90 years old when Isaac was born. I want you to imagine what that Father's Day Sunday was like at church. Hey, I'm having a baby. And the people saying, you're crazy. But that's exactly what happened to Abraham and Sarah. So God had promised years ago that Abraham would have a son, and that through this son, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. We are all children of Abraham. Do you know that? We are the result. We are sitting here today, the result of that promise. And so Abraham waited and waited and waited and waited some more for this promise to be fulfilled. And because nothing is impossible with God, Isaac was eventually born. And so Isaac was the child of promise. Isaac was the gift from God. But I want to share this with you here today. So is every child. Every child is a gift from the Lord, according to Psalm 127, verse 3. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. This verse reminds us that your child doesn't have to be born through some miraculous circumstances to be a gift from God. This verse says, every child you have been given is a gift from God. Every child in your house is a reward from on high. How many know when we live in a culture of death, we live in a culture of violence where life is not valued at all, and this story reminds us that every life matters, especially the children that God gives to us. But there are far too many kids, even adult kids, who have been lied to by the devil saying, you're worthless, you were an accident, you have no purpose, there's nothing good about your life. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And God sent me here today to tell you, because I'm going to tell you what, I wrestled with the Lord on this one. I'm like, I'm not sure that this fits on Father's Day. And I felt strongly, the Lord said, say it. I'm like, okay, I'm saying it. Yes, sir. Every child is a child of promise. If you are here and you are an adult child and you've been told all your life that you're a loser, you're nothing, you're no good, I'm here today to tell you that that is not true, that you are a gift from the Lord, you are a gift to your parents. God particularly picked you to be part of your family. And I want to challenge the dads here, especially if you are blessed enough to have a son or daughter, would you please make sure that they know how you feel about them? Would you make sure on this Father's Day, not just on Father's Day, but as often as possible, that there is no doubt that you believe that they are a gift from the Lord, that they are a child of promise, that they are a reward from heaven? Far too often, us men especially, we kind of take for granted that our kids know how we feel about them. I mean, we say, well, you know I love you, right? That's crazy. We need to learn how to give the blessing to our children and encourage them. I read recently about author Ernest Hemingway, who wrote a short story entitled The Capital of the World. It's set in Madrid, Spain. And it tells the story of a young man named Paco who had strained his relationship with his father by an act of betrayal and then further shatters the connection by deliberately running away from home to escape his father's rules, care, and responsibility. Paco's father begins a long and arduous journey to find his rebellious son. After months and months of searching and coming up empty, Paco's father decides to place an advertisement in the newspaper and perhaps catch the attention of his beloved son, Paco. The advertisement was simple and direct. Quote, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office tomorrow at noon. All is forgiven. Love, your father." To the father's great astonishment, when he arrived to greet his estranged son, there were almost 800 young men named Paco waiting in front of the newspaper office to reconcile and receive their father's forgiveness. Dads, the world is full of young boys and young girls longing for the love and the blessing of their father. Give it to them. Bless them. At the end of the service, I'm going to invite all of the men to join me, and I want to give a father's blessing to you from the Heavenly Father, and then we're going to turn and give it to our families, because this is something Gary Smalley and Gary Trent, they wrote a book called The Blessing. I put the information in your notes. This is something that we need to take seriously, dads, that we affirm our kids and that we bless them and we learn to give the blessing in their lives. Anybody hearing me here today? All right. Here's the second thing I want to pull out from this story. Not only is that every child is a promised child, but faith is the most important thing you can pass on to your kids. Faith is the most important thing that you can pass on to your children. You know, in the video, I love how it illustrates the fact that Isaac willingly became the sacrifice. He didn't run from his dad. He willingly submitted his life to his father. Now, some Bible commentators believe that Isaac could have been up to 25 years old when this took place. And remember, Abraham would have been over 100 years old when he takes Isaac to Mount Moriah for this sacrifice. How many know when Abraham somehow reveals to Isaac that he's the sacrifice, how many know Isaac could have said, "What you talking about, Abraham? I'm going to take you down," you know. He could have taken his old man. At the very least, he could have run far away. But I want you to see something that's not much talked about in this story. Isaac willingly became the sacrifice. That's amazing to me. How does a young man, have that kind of faith to entrust his life to his father? Can I tell you? It's because he learned how to submit to God from watching his father. He learned it by example. Hebrews 11, verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place where he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went." Everybody say, obeyed. And went. Even though he didn't know where he was going. "By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God." I want you to imagine how surprised Abraham was when at 75 years old, he is a nomadic herdsman, a sheep farmer out in the desert, when the creator God of the universe starts speaking to him and starts giving him promises, including, "I will make you into a great nation." Now here's how Abraham became the father of faith. And that's why we sing the song, Father Abraham. It's because Abraham simply believed what God said. Can I tell you, that's all faith is? Faith is simply believing what God has said. All of us can have that kind of faith. It's a choice that we make. When I read the book, when I read the Word of God, I hear the voice of God. I either do it or I don't. I either believe it or I don't. Come on, somebody. And so that's where faith comes from. And so Abraham was living and modeling this faith in front of Isaac. Isaac would have grown up watching his dad hear the stories of his journey from Ur of Chaldees to the land of Canaan, to not even know where he was going, but to follow God. He would have heard how God changed his dad's name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of many nations, how God provided for them and made Abraham a fabulously wealthy man because of his obedience, and how God delivered Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah through Abraham. So listen, so when it came time for Isaac to trust God in this sacrifice, he had already learned it from his dad. How many know faith is contagious to your children? I want to challenge all the men here today. Listen closely. What's the most important thing that you can give to your kids? A nice home, a place to sleep, new shoes every 2 months, food to eat, clothes to wear. I'll teach them how to shoot a gun, how to change a tire, how to hit a baseball, make a layup. Those are all fine things. Those are good things. We do all those things at my house. But can I challenge you, Dad, the most important thing that you can give to your children is to be an example of what it means to follow Jesus. That's the most important thing you can give. When it's all said and done, when it's all passed and we're all old and we all pass away, guess what? It's not going to matter how many trophies we have on our shelves. It's not going to matter how many baseball tournaments we won. I'm preaching now. The only thing that's going to matter is if I follow Jesus or not. Come on, somebody. Listen, but so I need to be the example of obeying and following God by reading the Word of God, by obeying God's Word, by talking to my family about God's Word, by putting God first in my schedule, my finances, and my life. Because when your children leave your house, you want them to know how to pray. You want them to know how to read the Word of God. You want them to know God. Amen? That's the most important thing that you can give to your kids, is what Abraham gave to Isaac was his faith. Here's the last one, and then we're going to pray. Abraham's heart toward Isaac is a great picture of God's heart towards us. When you read this story, when you watch this story, inevitably the question becomes, why in the world would a good God ask Abraham to sacrifice his son? A God who clearly had already said that child sacrifice is detestable. It's abominable. How could the God of heaven ask Abraham to do that? And I want you to remember that we learned in the story of Abraham that we were made in the image, in the story of Adam and Eve in Genesis 1, we were made in the image of who? We're made in the image of God. So can I tell you that Abraham didn't actually sacrifice Isaac? And can I tell you that God asked Abraham to do this for a specific reason? Listen closely. God gave Abraham an opportunity to understand what it was like for God. Why do we have fathers? Why is there a Father's Day? Because Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. Why do we have marriage? Because it's a picture of a relationship between Jesus and his bride. Why do we have families? Because it's a picture of God's family. Come on, somebody. The only reason we have those things in this life, because those things won't exist in the next life, is to illustrate for us the love and the family and the relationship that we have with God. That's why the world hates marriage. That's why the world hates traditional family. That's why the spirit of the age is coming against it, because we're made in the image of God. In the video, we see Abraham crying out, my God, have mercy. It makes me think only Abraham, maybe the only person in all of history who truly knows the pain and the torment and the agony that God the Father went through on the day that his son, who was also a willing sacrifice, was put into the hands of evil men who mocked him, who scorned him, who crucified him, who killed him. to become the sacrifice for us. Can I tell you, we get a picture of the heart of God the Father when we recognize God was giving Abraham an opportunity to experience and to show us the love of God. You say, God, why would God do that? Well, let's fast forward to 2015, when God's name is being blasphemed and God's character is being maligned by a world that says he's a hater, he's a violent God, he's this, he's that. Read the rest of the story. That God loved the world so much, he gave, listen, his only Isaac. He gave us his only son. When we see what Abraham and Isaac went through, we see a picture of what God went through. And that's where the scarlet thread of redemption comes into this story. The scarlet thread of redemption is simply a principle that Jesus and the cross is in every story in the Bible. We read here in Genesis, chapter 22, verse 13, Abraham went and took the ram, and he offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his sons. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." A ram became the substitute for the sacrifice of Isaac. Listen closely. We're about to pray. 2,000 years later, on the very same spot, another sacrifice took place. And just like in this story, both the Father and the Son were willing. Jesus was God's Lamb who became a substitute for Isaac and Jacob and David and Samuel and Ruth and Matthew and Mary and Paul and Wayne and Ernie and Mike and Mandy and Lindsay. Jesus Christ, the greatest act of love in the history of the world, willingly offered his hands, willingly submitted his life to be the substitute for your sin. We learned in Adam and Eve that sin has a very high price. We learned in Noah that God will always judge sin. We also learned that God gives second chances, and he gave us the second chance through Jesus. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed all over this room. Nobody's looking around. I'm asking nobody be leaving. We are far from done. But if you're here this morning, and you say, Pastor, this whole family of God thing, God being my Father, I'm not sure I'm part of the family of God. I haven't given my life to Christ. I'm not following Jesus. I haven't trusted in Christ to be the substitute for my sin. Then today's your day. Today is your day to receive the greatest gift in the history of the world, the gift of eternal life. God gave his son to be your substitute so that you could be part of God's family and have eternal life through Jesus Christ. In just a moment, I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. You're simply going to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to make things right with God today. I want to make a decision to forsake sin, confess sin and forsake sin. And I want to follow Christ. When I say three, put your hand up. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. One, Christians, you're praying, asking God's Spirit to move. Two, listen to the voice of God, sir. Listen to the voice of God, young lady. He loves you. He loves you. He brought you here today because he wanted you to hear this message of the great love of God the Father. When I say three, put your hand up. Pastor, pray for me. I want to make it right with God today. One, two, three. Put it up. God bless you. Put them up real high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands are up all over this room. God bless you. We're waiting. Raise them up. Raise them up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much for those that have raised your hand. Those that raise your hand, I want to lead you in a very simple prayer, but honest prayer, sincere prayer. pray this with me, and all who would like to pray with him, pray this way. Dear God, thank you for Jesus, the substitute for my sin. I agree with you. I've sinned. I'm guilty. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I put my faith in Jesus Christ to save me. From this day forward, Holy Spirit, fill me with your power to serve you every day and make me faithful until the end. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God for that. Amen. Would you give God praise for these that have prayed here today? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I'd like everybody to stand. And I'd like to have every man 18 years of age and older to join me in the front. Would you step toward the front here? All guys, I want to pray a blessing on you. Thank you for coming. As you're coming, ladies and younger men and daughters and kids, give it up for all of these wonderful guys who came to church today. Press in. Press in to the middle, guys. Press in all the way around. I want all the guys to make it here. All the guys. Awesome. Amen. Wow. I get really excited when men go to church. It just makes me happy. God loves them all, and we do too, but man, when men are coming to church, man, that's some good stuff, isn't it? Awesome. Look around, guys. That's pretty awesome. We praise God for you. Amen. Press in so everybody can get in. Press in. I believe in something called the blessing. It's biblical. And the first thing I want to do is give you a blessing, a spoken word, a blessing. Not necessarily from me as your pastor, but on behalf of your Heavenly Father. I know some of you grew up in difficult circumstances, and you never had a blessing from your dad. This thing that we talked about as far as you know, you being valued and you're being important, you're being gifted, you heard the opposite. You heard you were a loser. You heard this or that. I'm going to tell you what, today as we give the blessing from your Heavenly Father, I want you to understand it comes from a God who is a perfect Father. I was reading this week that Martin Luther, one of the leaders of the Reformation, had a difficult time with the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, because his dad was so mean. So I understand that there are sometimes some barriers that keep us from loving our Heavenly Father because of our dads. I'm going to today, as we bless you, I want you to receive the blessing from your Heavenly Father. Guys, would you stretch your hands toward me as I stretch my hands towards you? May the Lord bless you as a man of God. May you always serve him all the days of your life. May you know that you are a gift from heaven, that God created you for a purpose. May you always follow him and serve him. May you be filled with the faith of Abraham. May you have courage to serve the Lord in the day that you live. May you be filled with the power of God. May you leave a legacy of obedience and serving Jesus Christ. May you be a blessing to your family, to your children, and your children's children. I bless you on behalf of your Heavenly Father in the mighty name of Jesus. And all the men said amen. 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 Praise God. Awesome. Now, guys, I want you to turn around. Guys, I want you to turn around, and I want you to bless the people that are out there. Now, listen closely, guys. I want you to bless your family. Some of your family's sitting in the seats. Some of them aren't here. So some of you are going to have to give the blessing by faith or by proxy. Maybe they're in California, or they're overseas, or they're somewhere else. But if they're here, I want you to point toward them with your hand. If not, you're going to be pointing toward them by faith. Is that all right? And we're going to practice giving the blessing to our children and to our families. This is powerful stuff here today. Don't think too little of this. This is huge, guys. Give the blessing. Stretch your hands toward those men and women in front of you. Now repeat after me, guys. I bless you in Jesus' name. I thank God. You are part of my life. You are a gift from heaven to me. Now may you be blessed all the days of your life. May you serve Jesus Christ faithfully till the end. May God give you the spirit of Isaac to follow the steps of faith in Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. I bless you in Jesus' name. Somebody give God praise for the power of the blessing of the Father. Amen. Awesome. Bless the Lord. All right, guys, you can turn around. As a reward for your obedience today, root beer. All right. May Dad's root beer be a reminder of Abraham and Isaac, and that you will be a faithful man the rest of your life. Amen. Amen. Guests, I'd love to meet you at Connection Central. Turn in your volunteer forms and honor our heroes. Have a great Father's Day. We love you very much. God bless you.